Matthew 5, verse 6. Again, taken from the words of Jesus here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we're grateful always, Lord, for the provision that you give us, naturally, certainly, spiritually, more than anything, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can pursue after those things that you have for us, even though, Lord, you have already met, already given, already offered all of those blessings that are ours through Jesus. Lord, those things have been offered and provided for us that we might have abundantly. So, Lord, help us to desire to have the life that you've given us and to live it abundantly through Jesus. Open this word to us tonight, I pray. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I could have just gone ahead and titled this lesson the Thanksgiving Epilogue, since it came after Thanksgiving, and I guess it could be attached to the lesson that we had on Wednesday evening if you were here, because it ties in so neatly to Thanksgiving and the festivities that took place yesterday, likely, if your house was like mine. So I will just call it that. Even though it says full and hungry up there, this is kind of a Thanksgiving epilogue. I did what I thought that I would do, what I told you I would do on Wednesday night, and I made an idiot of myself yesterday. I ate way too much for way too long and way too often. I went back repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly, and I would be lying if I said that I wasn't still feeling the effects today, actually. I ate yesterday like I don't often eat, honestly. There's just too much opportunity there. Too much potential and too much provision. And it was all stuff that we don't have very often. And it was so sweet and it was so rich and it was so fat-laden and so buttery and so cream cheesy and sour creamy and all of those things that you might not like yourself, but they were all the things that I like. So I took part in it. Partook heavily. And I regretted it, certainly, certainly. What happens then after we gorge at lunch or dinner? Well, we tend to go back, right? We sit and we think, how could I ever eat again? And I know those words came out of my mouth. I can't eat another bite. You know, hour and a half later, you're like, what's in the kitchen? You know, go back for more. You know how it is. Some things are just too good, too tasty and too rich and all of those things. And I remember all the way back in sixth grade, when we lived in Columbia, Missouri, we went to my aunt and uncle's house. They lived out there, my great aunt, great uncle. And they had shrimp for some reason. I don't know if it was on sale or what. We all went over to their house, and I didn't get shrimp very often. And I ate till I was full, and then I ate some more. And then on the way home, I wasn't feeling good, and I let loose all of that shrimp that I partook of on the way home. Sometimes you need to stop when you're full, rather than continuing to partake and to partake. But when things are so rich and so good and so rare and you don't have that opportunity very often, you oftentimes take that opportunity to eat to more than what is sufficient. And it is obviously a picture of that old man and the new man. The old man is constantly there looking at these things that it finds so rich and so good and so profitable. And so, you know, I have to take part of this. Have to take part in this. I have to dive into this and just keep on doing this. And the new man is like, you're going to regret this if you partake in this. You're going to regret if you imbibe in this world too much and too deep, too often. You're going to regret it. And, you know, sometimes the flesh wins out, and we do. We do regret it. I mean, I'm speaking to the choir here tonight, so to speak. You understand how the old man and the new man work. And we regret it, because that new man is within us, and that new man tells us, you shouldn't have done that. And we deal with that, take it to the Lord, and so on and so forth. The consideration tonight is that, well, Thanksgiving food, obviously, is usually not healthy in large quantities. Once you know that you're full, you don't need to be taking more, and it actually is quite bad for you to eat all of those things that I, again, imbibed in too heavily yesterday. It's not good for our bodies. It's bad for us, actually, to eat to that excess. I won't go into all the anatomy and physiology, but the bottom line is you wish that there was food that was so alluring and so tempting as the things that aren't good for us. And yet, while they're alluring and tempting, the more you eat, the more beneficial it is for you. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have? I was talking with someone before service, and they were telling me about a salad that they made for Thanksgiving yesterday. We didn't have any salad there. As a matter of fact, I broke open a bag of frozen peas to put out there because I felt guilty there was nothing green on my table. I mean, it was really quite awful, actually. There was no salad, and I'm guessing that there weren't a lot of kale and quinoa things brought to your gatherings. There's no kale, no superfoods in my kitchen yesterday. No flaxseed or any of those things. It would be really nice if there was something that you could set out there, and the more you ate of it, the better it was for you. And you kept going back for more, and it was better and better and more alluring and enticing the more that you looked at it. In our text, Jesus is speaking to the multitude there about what they should be hungry for, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Of course, this is what we talk about in church. Hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Blessed are those ones who do hunger and thirst for righteousness. How come? They shall be filled. This is something that, again, it's a silly, foolish, obvious metaphor to talk about food and the things that we dove into yesterday. And I'll try to leave it there and not talk about those things anymore. Other than to say righteousness, and I'll just broaden it out to all of the things of God. Obviously, they are something that we should look at, be enticed by, be desiring of, and go back for more and more and more and more. Because the Lord offers those things. Righteousness, God's things, and the Lord himself. If you turn to Psalm 45 with me. Speaking of Jesus, they didn't say his name in Psalm 45. This is a psalm written and performed, I guess you could say, by the sons of Korah, it says there. They're speaking of Jesus, even if they don't mention his name. Psalm 45, verse 1, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King, and that will be the King of Kings, the Messiah. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men, he says, regarding Jesus. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. This one that he's speaking regarding, well, this one desired righteousness continually. We know this. Jesus certainly desired righteousness, desired more and more of it. And we see the result of it even, well, foretold here in verse 7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Jesus, well, you don't get much more full of righteousness than Jesus was, right? He was perfect, without sin, from the beginning. However, we do know that he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature, both intellectually, grew in stature in his wisdom and in his body physically as he grew, and he learned more and more as his brain was capable of learning more and more. Righteousness was something that while he was full of when he was just a young person, understanding who his father was, to whatever degree he was able to understand at 12 years old, remember, he said, I must be about my father's business. As he grew, he went back to the wells, as it were, looking for more righteousness, growing in righteousness, the perfect one. The perfect one. While he was, here's the oxymoron, full of righteousness, he kept going back for more righteousness. He was hungry for more and for more. Psalm 22, verse 26 kind of tells us something similar for ourselves. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him will praise the Lord. They'll continue to go, continue to pursue him. Let your heart live forever. With God's things, with righteousness, with the things of his will, with Jesus himself in that relationship that we're looking for him. I don't have to tell you this, but I will. More is always better. You can't overeat. You can't overfill. You can't be, well, too full of righteousness. Self-righteousness, yes. His righteousness, no. His things, no. Desiring of his will, you cannot be overfull. It's never too rich. It's never too sweet. It's never too abundant. It's never too much for us. More is always better with him. You might not always be able to comprehend and understand everything that you're taking in, everything that's being presented to you. I sit down and I read the word, and I study, and there are things that I sit and I just, well, sometimes I bang my head on it sometimes. But I never walk away from it, even if I haven't quite broken through the understanding that I feel like perhaps the Lord even wants me to have. I haven't quite broken through that wall, perhaps. I never come away from it thinking, man, I wish I hadn't done that. I always feel full, but I'm hungry for more of what he has. If you want more, he'll give it. John 14 and verse 21, this is also Jesus speaking. He who has my commandments and keeps them, we have them, don't we? It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. As we go to his commandments, to his word as we know it, this book and what he speaks to us in our hearts, and as we, well, continue to pursue him, follow after him, he manifests himself not only at salvation, but he manifests himself to us in our time of need. He manifests himself to us in our time of anxiety. He manifests himself to us in our times of joy and rejoicing, celebration. He manifests himself to us as we look at his commandments, keep his commandments, apply his commandments and what he has for us. Have you been made righteous by faith in Christ? Desire more of it. Pursue more of him. Are you walking after his will? Are you walking after the Spirit in the righteousness that he has given to you through Jesus? Desire more of it. Pursue more of it. It's never going to make you sick. It's never going to make you feel ugh. It's never going to make you any of those things, spiritually speaking. It's always going to edify, always going to build you up, and always going to strengthen you. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. And Paul lived out this truth himself in Philippians 4, verse 11. You're familiar with this passage, most likely. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content, satisfied, full. Completely and utterly, I'm good. Regardless of whether he was high, naturally, materially speaking, or down low. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need naturally, because spiritually speaking, he didn't suffer need. He didn't suffer lack as he pursued after the Lord, as he left those things behind and kept moving forward, chasing after that prize that we know that he chased after. He wasn't starving, even if he was hungry naturally at times, and he was. There were those times where he was. He'll tell you that he was lacking nourishment when he was in prison. He would have told us that there were times that he wasn't taking part in the meals that we took part in yesterday. But spiritually speaking, as he went after the Lord, he never needed to be hungry. Never needed to be hungry in the Word. The Lord satisfies all those hungers. All those hungers that arise in our hearts, we understand this. Matthew 5:6 tells us that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said in that opening passage. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. We don't ever need to starve spiritually again. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you've tasted that the Lord is good, as we see in 1 Peter 2 and verse 3, well, if you've tasted this, then you've received his righteousness. Then you've been made full to a measure. When you were young and you believed on the Lord Jesus, you had this little vessel. He filled it right up to the top. Filled it up. You were full. You're satisfied. That's what he had for you in that moment. And you received what he had. Your thimble-sized vessel was to the tippy top, perhaps. And then what happens after that, ideally? Man, my heart is full right now. I believed in the Lord Jesus. And then what do those new believers, what should they be doing? Well, after a brief amount of time, after about half an hour or an hour and a half, you think, what's in the kitchen, right? You go back and you start to expand that. I tell you what, I hate to keep on being gross, but if I were to eat like I ate yesterday all the time, my stomach would be this floppy Walmart bag of an organ. It would be disgusting. It would be wrong. It was horrible, man. I felt awful last night. And I don't want to have that all stretched out like that. It's not good for us, right? To have all of that stuff. The things of God are good. And we should go back and stretch out the vessel. Stretch out the capacity. Stretch out what we can hold and what we can collect from him. We should be looking for more, whether it's righteousness, grace, growth, direction, wisdom, peace, joy, even comfort, those things that seem rather self-serving. All of those things are blessings from the Lord that we might enjoy, that we can be hungry for even when we are full, right? It's pretty plain, saints. Psalm 42, I'll close up with a couple more passages here. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." Sons of Korah, once again, talk about the continuing, ongoing, that they knew him. They'd been given righteousness. They had a measure of faith, if they believed what they were singing. And I trust that they did. This is scripture that they were writing here. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That's our purpose and our desire. We know him and we have righteousness, but while we're full, we should always seek to be expanded and made fuller, and expanded and made fuller. Isaiah says in chapter 55, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." Expand. Grow. Yes, be full and be hungry for more. Righteousness and God's things and a relationship with the Lord, it's not like food. It's not like just some, no matter how good the pie, no matter how good the food might be, there's a limit as to how much and what we should take into our bodies at any given time. There's no limit. No limit when it comes to the things of God. No limit when it comes to righteousness. No limit when it comes to a relationship with Jesus. We should always come to him and feel full when he shares himself with us, but always be willing to expand and add. Add faith. Add to your faith virtue, Peter says in 2 Peter 1. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Always looking to add and expand and grow in faith. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Saints, we should always go back for more. We can hunger and not starve if we're hungering for the things of the Lord, having been filled with his righteousness, being made righteousness when we accepted him. But we can also be full and still desire more, right? Those are happy but valid oxymorons. Come to the Lord satisfied and content with what he's given you, certainly with his calling and his provision, his salvation and his redemption, but come to him anxious and hungry for more and more of those things, that you can broaden out in your capacity and be filled and filled and filled to overflowing. That's what he wants for us, saints. Be hungry and be full at the same time.